it hard to believe that it's already May 1st?
Kind of, yeah. It's going by a little bit too quick.
It's hard to believe it's 2019.
What year does it feel like to you?
I don't know, man. Like 2014?
2009.
I keep thinking.
2009.
I keep looking at all the
February
stuff.
February of 2009. You're like, wait a minute. No, it's a decade later.
All the Avengers stuff, you know, like I'm looking back through the dates of movies and things of that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's not too long ago. Then you realize 2014 was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Literally 5 years ago.
10 years ago. And I still think it was like a couple of years ago.
I still think the 80s were 10 years ago.
And I still think the 90s were like five.
We're bad with time.
Time's a bitch,
man. It doesn't register with us.
Yeah.
It really is. Really is a bitch.
But, you know, I'm sure the rest of this year will be long and fulfilling.
Well, as soon as all the...
It won't just blow past and you're like, what happened? What did I... Did I accomplish anything?
No.
No? All right.
This is the David Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Well, I got some good news and some bad news to start the show today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
How about we start off with some bad news this morning, Dave? Some
bad news?
Yeah.
Beluga whales are being used by Russians to spy on others, or so they think. Did you guys see the video of this beluga whale?
It was so cute.
It was a really cute, friendly whale. That was so cute. Yeah, it was so trained and tamed that it would just swim right up and you could pet it.
Is it talking? Like it was a killer whale?
It was doing the whale thing.
Sounds like Gilbert Gottfried. It sucked helium.
The reason why they think that it may be being utilized as a Russian spy is because it had a tight harness around it that appeared to be Russian made, and that raised the alarm of Norwegian officials and prompted speculation that the animal may have escaped from a Russian military facility. Equipment St. Petersburg, subtle you guys, is written on the harness strap. Which features a mount for an action camera. A professor at the Arctic and Marine Biology at the Arctic University of Norway believes it is most likely used by the Russian Navy. Now, Russia has major military facilities in and around that peninsula in the far northwest of Russia. Russia does not have a history of using whales for military purposes, but back when they were the Soviet Union, they actually had a full-fledged dolphin training program.
They did. That's legit. Yeah, seriously, they did.
What?
Like, what are you going to be able to glean? I mean, I guess if you have, what do you, strap GoPros to them all and...
Give them machine guns.
Belugas with bazookas?
Yes. Yeah. Sharks with laser beams, move over, man.
Belugas with bazookas.
That's right. You know, a lot of people are theorizing that this beluga whale is from the former Soviet Union or from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
But what if he's just stylish? What if he just likes how that harness looks? What if he just like, you know, hey,
like
man,
he stole it?
I want to look good tonight when I go out.
Or maybe he's a little kinky. He's like, put that harness on a little tighter.
Mm.
My beluga baby.
Where's my beluga mouth ball?
Oh, God. That's a secret word.
Right over here. What's going to happen now?
How would I do, Norwegian fisherman?
He's not friendly. He's horny.
Yeah.
Well, some good news today. Although that feels like that turned into good news.
Kind of good news. Well, I mean, what are we using next? Giraffes? Can we get giraffes with guns?
Guns and giraffes,
That's right. Rhinos and rockets.
Oh, that's scary.
Hippos and harpoons.
Lions and laser beams. There you go.
Duke, the big cats, scary as hell.
They are.
Yeah. Like a tiger on a trapeze? Look out.
He'll eat you.
So there's footage of a life-saving open-heart surgery that was performed on the street.
What?
How's to save the life of a young man.
How is that sanitary?
It's not. The victim was stabbed in the chest in England and had gone into cardiac arrest by the time the Great North Air Ambulance Service helicopter arrived. It was thought that he would not have survived the transfer to the hospital. But, and this is what's interesting to me, because they don't list him as a surgeon or even a doctor. This guy is a pre-hospital emergency consultant. And so you go, okay, well, like, is this guy qualified to perform open heart surgery?
On a sidewalk?
On a sidewalk. Okay. But in order to do this, they had to do the thing where they crack open the whole chest cavity. And so once his heart and lungs were exposed, a clot that had built up around his heart was released, and they tied, there was a tie applied around the vessels that were still bleeding. And so obviously this guy knew what he was doing. He was then given a blood transfusion, and his heart resumed beating. The victim has only been named as Steven. The attacker was caught, and this guy that cracked open his chest and saved his life is being heralded as a hero.
I mean, that guy is 100% a hero, and it sounds like he knows what he's doing. Maybe if he was just like a consultant, he's a retired doctor.
That could be.
Because that's usually like, right?
But I mean, if you're retired, and you're like, it's so nice being retired.
I thought I was out, and then you put me back in.
But, yeah, I mean, pretty amazing stuff, too.
It was a really bad Godfather. And...
Oh, was that what,
oh, was that what that was?
Yeah, it was Al Pacino.
That was an Al Pacino.
That was not. Do it again.
Do it again.
You know, I don't know. Do it again. It was a one and done. One and done.
You gotta just do this.
Yeah. I mean, that's closer.
Yeah. I thought I was out, and then you pulled me back in. It's gonna yell a lot.
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
That's a big ass.
It's a big ass. It's a huge ass.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Good morning. What's the most bizarre thing you ever ate? I heard alligator was pretty good. Man, I'd even eat a lion, to be honest.
Message deleted.
Eat a lion?
I wouldn't eat a lion. Lions are cute, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you'd say cute, but
they're cute.
They're cute. I mean, lions. From far away.
Are you lions are fierce.
I'm
lions
gonna,
are badass.
Not
they're
gonna
not
keep,
cute.
Well, they're kind of
they're
cute.
Adorable. Like
they got the big
cubs.
Big fluffy hairs.
Yeah, man. It's
called a mane. They're the king of the jungle.
I mean, the female tigers are the...
Yeah.
Tigers or lions? What are we talking
lions.
About here?
Aren't they the same thing?
Jesus
no, man.
Christ.
They're different cats.
What's something strange you've eaten, Mahoney?
Shark. Shark pizza.
Shark pizza.
Shark pizza.
Shark pizza. There's a place in St. Louis, Cyberg's, that has shark pizza. It was always pretty good.
I would never eat shark. It's too cute.
Nah, sharks are brainless. Fish are all brainless.
Yeah.
Don't tell that to our engineer Tracy though, because he'll come in here and tell you for 14 years about.
I have found the most intelligent fish of all time in my aquarium at home.
Yeah,
he doesn't talk like that. It just would be cooler.
Not
if he did.
At all.
You idiots!
I've eaten alligator too.
That beluga whale seemed pretty smart.
That's not a fish though. That's a mammal.
I mean, but it's a
mammal.
No, it's a mammal.
Not even
it's
close. It's not an amphibian. Amphibians don't have feelings. Mammals do.
How do you know amphibians don't have feelings?
Because. And they're also liars.
Sylvia, strangest thing you've eaten?
Tongue.
Okay.
Yeah. What kind of tongue?
Like cow tongue. Or, you know what? In menudo, there's cow intestines.
It's not that weird. It's just like chitlins, man.
Yeah, but when I found out what that was...
I don't feel like I'm really that inventive. I drank a scorpion one time. Does that count?
From the tequila? Right?
Tequila. Yes. In the tequila.
Yeah.
In fact, Mahoney was supposed to do it with me. We had it set up. It was when we first came back.
Yeah, it was recently.
I said I didn't want to do it.
A couple
and
years
like,
ago.
No, you guys are going to do it. And I said, no, I'm not. And sure enough, I did
we,
not.
Mahoney's holding it up. And we were like, 3, 2, 1. And I take the shot. And I look over and Mahoney's still holding his. And he just slides it out of the way. I'm like, you son of a gun.
Ian, over the weekend, was eating crickets.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
They're not bad.
Why?
A lot better than I thought they would be.
They're high in protein or something, right? Are they supposed to be good for you?
I don't know. I just ate it. It was very crunchy.
I don't eat
crunchy.
Bugs, man.
Nah.
No.
Bugs are gross.
Was it flavored?
Yeah. No. Tasted like earth.
Yeah.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, guys, you were talking about this the other day, how you had a great idea for a time machine, and then you realized it was a plot to a movie. And I was just wondering if that's ever happened to you, because it happens to me all the time. I have a great idea for something, and then I see it online that it's already been done. It's already a plot to a movie. What other great ideas have you had that turned out to be already out there?
Message deleted.
I literally don't think I've ever had a great idea that wasn't already out there.
Yeah, I've stopped trying to even think of ideas.
Do you remember when you were a kid that used to be like, oh, you should be an inventor.
Yeah.
You should come up with something that is revolutionary. Never, not once. I did win the Inventors Fair when I was in fifth grade, I remember, because I came up with something called the Slam Stopper.
Uh-huh.
They used to have the desks that used to keep all your books in.
Yeah.
And all it was just putting foam around the edge of the desk so that way it didn't slam.
And crush your fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cute.
Yeah, but that was...
Good job, man. You deserve that.
My highest accolade was getting basically a pat on the back and a certificate in fifth grade for inventing something. Since then... Not a thing.
I don't think they even make those types of desks anymore.
I don't think so.
Like where you store everything.
It's all kind of like under. Yeah, it's like under it.
Anyone here have the million-dollar idea that just needs the proper investment, the angel investor to come along?
The Blizzdog, I thought we all did a pretty
good
job.
Blizzdog was strong. Yeah.
You know, you've got the fries in the Wendy's Frosty. Yeah, like which is good. Yeah. We took
this was a corn dog and a blizzard
from DQ.
Yeah.
And they haven't rolled that out yet.
Not yet.
Just takes a little while.
I didn't realize this, but I was reading about kind of like intellectual property and things of that nature. That there's a reason why a lot of authors and a lot of like script writers don't even look at submissions from fans. It's because
they can get accused of stealing the idea,
even if they were quote unquote giving it to them.
It's not even just with authors. A lot of agencies won't even like just they won't take unsolicited work like scripts and things like that, because like you said, if something gets developed down the road that is similar, they can get sued and then go look. So they'll just return it in the same envelope.
You mean that manuscript I've been writing for the last 5 years, Dave, isn't going to
waste your time, my friend.
Nobody's going to see it.
No one's even going to look at it.
You know how hard it is to write a script? I tried to do it.
No, I've never. You did?
Well, I was like with a couple other people. We were trying to flesh out a TV show. We got to like three characters, and we're like, this is a pain in the ass.
My buddy decided that we were going to write a movie one time. And of course, we were sitting around at a bar, and he was furiously taking notes. And we spent several hours working on it.
Yeah.
And then he got drunk and lost all of our notes, and we were like, you know what? That's
probably
it.
For the better.
Yeah.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, morning show. So I was watching Sharknado the other night, and it got me thinking, if you all lost a hand but were able to replace it with any tool, what tool would you choose? Would you go for something better looking or more useful?
Message deleted.
I think more useful.
You think more useful? Yeah. I'm going cool. I'm going straight up Evil Dead chainsaw on the arm,
well,
man.
Well, is it dominant hand? Like... Which one are you using?
Whatever. Yeah, sure. Dominant hand.
Whichever hand you want.
Yeah. Okay.
You wouldn't go like Kingslayer and have like a huge gold hand?
Why wouldn't... So here's the thing about that. Wouldn't you put a spike there?
If you're Jaime Lannister and all you do is fight battles, like put a
weapon,
an extra sword on there.
Something. Yes.
Or a shield.
Not just a bootleg-ass hand that does not just nothing. You can't even take care of yourself with that.
It just
hand.
Looks like a big-ass hand. It looks like Chubb's hand from Happy Gilmore.
There's no G.I. Joe Kung Fu grip on
that. Yeah, what are you doing, man?
Dave and Mahoney. Weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So, yesterday... The founders of Google lost $9 billion.
So they only have like $900 billion left?
I know, poor guys. Hard to feel sorry for these poor billionaires. But share prices of their Google parent company, Alphabet, plunged after the tech giant reported slowing revenue growth with brands pulling out of YouTube over concern over the site's harmful content.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree with that. Like, there's a lot of really bad stuff on YouTube.
YouTube is a cesspool for hate, misinformation, and just... stupidity.
Is it kind of becoming Facebook in that sense that we're like the... Just
close.
But
the problem is Facebook's biggest user base is kids. Like,
right. Yeah.
Like 13-year-olds who live and die by Facebook, who aren't smart enough to understand what is real, what is not, what if somebody's lying to you. And there's a lot of really nasty, dark places on there, man. And I'm not shocked that brands are pulling out.
It's also annoying that when you're watching a video, if you sit there and watch whatever video at the beginning, whatever ad, and then you wait the five seconds to click through, and you click through that, but then 35 seconds into watching the video after that, another ad just pops up. You're like, it's unusable to me. I don't like YouTube. I also am not a fan of Facebook. Facebook dating is going to launch later this year, as if we need them more in our business.
I was going to say, if anything could possibly make Facebook worse rather than adding a dating aspect to it, right? Like, they haven't been able to be trusted with any of your personal information. Your passwords have been compromised. Now, let's get them involved in your love life, right?
They have a new feature within its dating service called Secret Crush, where you can select 9 of your friends that you'd like to match with. And if both users pick each other, Facebook will notify each user.
Do you think that they're going to have a... There's going to be a way that that gets out. Like, you could see which nine people are, see who's nine people for like $29.99. Yeah. Of course they're going to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, Tinder's bad enough. You don't need, like, Facebook is going to take it to a whole another level. Let's, like, so let's combine your crappy political takes with your horrible dating life and your stupid fake news that you continue to spread on a daily basis.
But also, like, Facebook has become kind of for the older crowd, so it's just going to be a bunch of older people, like, hooking up.
Yeah, grandma going to get some.
Oh, no, grandma's grinding.
Is that a website? Get some grandma?
Getsomegrandma.com.
I don't know.
Do we think?
Come on.
Do we think that is a website or not? We're spelling.
Get some grandma.
Oh, God. Why am I typing this? .com. Why am I typing this? Getsomegrandma.com is available.
Yeah!
Get some spelled two different ways, grandma. S-O-M-E and S-U-M.
Oh.
Get some.
$2.99. We could own that amazing domain.
I mean.
I feel like that could be like a.
That's how we end up on a list.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Grandma's got needs, right?
Well, I mean, if she's
lonely. See if Grandma's Got Needs is available.
Oh, God.
No, that seems like it's a dirtier website.
I mean, Get Some Grandma also could be dirty if you flip out the connotation of it.
Yeah. All right. Grandma's Got Needs is available.
Yeah! Dude, we are in URL heaven here. Speaking of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg made a privacy joke at their annual F8 developer conference on Tuesday.
What did he say?
Well, I'll play the audio for you.
It's not really a joke. It's just a stupid statement.
It didn't go over so well.
I know that we don't exactly have the strongest reputation on privacy right now, to put it lightly.
And then crickets.
No, even like just the beginning of that sentence.
He talks. He sounds like Kermit the Frog. Like, I know Kermit that the we Frog don't, bangs Marvin the Martian.
There's Krigger.
I know that we don't exactly have the strongest reputation on privacy right now, to put it lightly.
That's Kermit the Frog banging Marvin the Martian, and then they stole all of your data.
Mark, it's not funny, man. Like,
that's not cool.
You've exposed millions of passwords for people's private Facebook accounts and Instagram accounts. Plain text for all of your creepy-ass employees to look at.
You sold out America to foreign governments to sell our data to them and let them meddle
in
our stuff. It's disgusting. And like I said, that guy he just doesn't look human. He looks like
he's like a weird combination of plastic and rubber. He's like if you put like a latex cover over a mannequin.
So they have like this Facebook conference that was going on. That's why we're getting all this stuff about Facebook today. And these nerds, like, I get it. If you're an Apple fanboy, I get it. If you're a fanboy of like video games like Fortnite or League of Legends or something like that.
If you're
that,
a Facebook fanboy, there's something
like,
wrong with
like,
you.
They're like, here's the new Facebook web design. And they show it.
Wow, that's so cool.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.
I wish I had a hand that was like two stories tall and I could just slap everyone in that room at the same time.
That would be what you get attached if you did lose
a
limb.
A genie, two story hand.
First wish.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So now that April is in the rearview mirror, it is time for us to look back and remember the things that we lost in the month of April of the year of our Lord 2019.
So hard to say goodbye.
Truckloads spilled across this great land like they do every single month.
America was built by truckers, Dave.
That's right. The men and women behind
America
the wheel.
America runs on truckers.
That's right, Mahoney.
Roads
and sometimes
belong to the truckers.
Yeah, that's also correct, yeah. Sometimes, though, those trucks create a huge mess, and they slow down traffic for hours, sometimes days at a time, because things, when you have so many moving parts, things can go wrong.
Yeah.
And in these particular cases, they absolutely did. But this is us paying tribute to the hot loads that we lost. Sometimes cold loads as well, depending on the cargo.
You are gone, but you will never be forgotten.
We pause to remember those whose work is done. Sadly, a few were taken from us much too soon with their best yet to come. Though they may be gone, they leave us a legacy that is eternal.
Shadows are falling and I'm running out of breath. Keep me in your heart for a while.
I looked down and there was cash littered all over US 31.
20s, 50s, and 100s strewn across US 31 in Grand Haven. A shocking discovery that had drivers parked everywhere dashing for cash.
I saw some cell phone on the pavement, so I think somebody was dropped their cell phone trying to pick up all the cash. And the police told me that they found 4 cell phones. So obviously people were preoccupied picking up cash.
Camstra joining in on the scramble for dough.
When we walked around in about 30 seconds, I picked up $370.
Camstra later finding out that the driver accidentally left a cardboard box filled with $30,000 in cash on his bumper.
Even though we don't have the cash, we're still gonna go celebrate.
To Placer County now, and a truck fire on Interstate 80 early this morning blocked the freeway for a time. You can see the charred truck on its side there on the road. The trailer, which was carrying TV dinners, caught fire. They're obviously overdone now. And look at that, TV dinners, just piles of them.
An 18-wheeler with full of frozen fish slammed into a dump truck.
That's right. There are reports that fish is now all along the spillway. Megan Key is live near the ramp.
Yeah, Sheba, Eric, it is causing very significant delays. That 18-wheeler was carrying frozen fish at the time. So when that accident happened, frozen fish scattered all throughout the interstate.
It was a massive cleanup response on eastbound I-90 after an extra stinky load spilled onto the roadway. Workers in hazmat suits, a street sweeper, even a state DOT snowplow scraped and sanded. All of this in response to a fertilizer spill. But we're told this is no ordinary soil. This one is made up of treated human waste.
Ah. Keep turning, but they're running out of steam. Keep me in your heart for a while.
KXTE-FM HD1, Pahrump, Las Vegas. Live from the Dollar Loan Center, don'tbebroke.com studios. Your home for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show and Real Alternative. X107.5.
Why is it that human waste is so much more gross than animal waste?
Right.
Yeah, like animal waste, like fertilizer. Like, yeah,
that's fine.
All the time,
but
yeah.
Like human poo?
I'll be hanging out at a parade and a horse will just take a huge slam right in
and
front of me.
Laughing.
Like, whatever.
Like,
but if some dude just pops a squat and starts pinching one off, just, oh my God.
How dare you?
Oh my God.
We know that could be us someday. We're just moments away.
Honey, what are you doing, man?
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
Business is booming for sports bettors and the companies that are the legal books for it. Across the United States, it's starting to spread, but the first state to go was New Jersey, outside of Nevada, of course, which has been the longstanding place where sports betting had been legal, and that was exclusive for a long time. But New Jersey, they're saying that they could quickly, or soon in the near future, surpass Las Vegas for the amount of money that is wagered on sports. So since becoming legal in New Jersey in June, gamblers have wagered $2.3 billion, according to their gaming enforcement. In Nevada, gamblers bet about $5 billion last year. So if you think they had half the year in 2.3, it's already pretty close. And you think, you know, New Jersey, obviously close to a ton of major metropolitan areas, including Philadelphia and New York City. And so the idea that you're able to bet on sports and with relative ease, it's not like you have to drive all the way to Atlantic City.
Yeah.
You can also do the mobile, and almost all of the money, well, not almost all of it, but a great portion of the money, like 80%, has been done through mobile wagering. So it's a lot of times people just driving over the border into New Jersey, like basically crossing the bridge from Philadelphia, opening their DraftKings or their FanDuel or their MGM app, placing their bet, and then driving back across the border. And they have their action set for their football Sunday or whatever it may be.
And that's easier than having a bookie or whatever. We know that there's a ton of money that's going through, you know, sports betting anyway. You know, I mean, it's one of the biggest gambling segments in the world.
Yeah.
Only growing. I think it's getting bigger by the day. And the more legal it becomes, the bigger it's going to get.
Yeah, and numerous other states are about to come on board as well. So Montana and Iowa are talking about it. Okay. Tennessee just passed a bill. It's waiting on the signature from the governor. And then it looks like Michigan could some point in the near future go, and Pennsylvania also is going to go. So a lot of different states saying sports betting is fine, and I think it just got to the point where everyone's like, we can't stop it.
It's
like,
happening.
It's happening. Tax it. Regulate it. Make it safe for consumers so they're not getting hosed.
Yeah.
And the governor of Nevada, Steve Sisolak, said your success is our success.
Yep.
And everyone's like, well, this could hurt Nevada. It's actually shown the opposite.
Yeah.
It's good for Las Vegas in general, because if people are big sports bettors, where are they going to be able to go and get treated well if they are big sports bettors? Sure. No one does hospitality better than Las Vegas.
So, like, they'll start out in New Jersey, but they're like, oh, I want to experience.
You want to go to the big leagues.
Yeah.
It's the Mecca here, right?
Yeah.
You come here and you have a great experience, and that's what Las Vegas is
all about. Nobody wants to travel to New Jersey to sports bet unless you live in New York. And even then, like I said, they're just crossing the bridge.
So some Clark County commissioners have voiced general support for considering firearm restrictions on the Strip, and Nevada lawmakers are considering making that the case. I don't think this is a bad idea, and the reason why I don't think it's a bad idea is because every time that I go down to the Strip outside of for business, it's a party, right?
Yeah.
And even if you're a responsible gun owner, if you have a concealed weapons permit, whatever it may be, everyone knows that if you're drinking, you're not supposed to have your gun on you.
You're not allowed to bring your guns into casinos as well. Yeah.
And so having stricter gun laws on the Strip, I don't think that's a bad thing for anyone, because especially if you're down there drinking, the last thing that you want is a bunch of people carrying, even if they are responsible gun owners.
My only concern is that if they do put this into place, that they do have more security and or a bigger... I mean, yeah, they already have a huge police presence down there, but I would like to see an even bigger police presence down on the Strip if that does go into place.
So we talked about it briefly yesterday, but MGM Resorts planning on shedding 1,000 jobs by June. That initial wave of 254 last week, it was significant, man. Yeah. I have a lot of friends over there, and many of them were affected by this. They're saying that three times that going to happen in the next, month? So they're saying by June, that means in the next 30 days they're going to cut another 750 jobs?
That's awful.
Holy crap.
What do they know that we don't? What do you think?
I don't think it's... Because a lot of people are saying, well, is this a foreshadowing for a recession? You know, the Cosmopolitan looking for a buyer. Is everyone saying this is the peak?
Caesars, possibly. You know, there was talks of
Caesars being sold. Yeah. And maybe Tillman Fertitta coming in and buying that off. But Carl Icahn, the billionaire investor, coming in and saying we need to sell Caesars now, sort of thing.
Yeah.
What does all this mean? I think a lot of it just has to do with their quarterly earnings and what their outlook is for the future. The company reported revenue is 12.6 higher this quarter than in 2018, but its cash flow here in Las Vegas dropped by 10%. And so it's them saying, here's the things that we're doing for the plan for 2020.
Okay.
I don't think that anyone right now, at least the experts that I've seen, are looking at another recession coming, especially to Las Vegas right now, considering all of the positive things that are happening here with the Raiders coming to town. The draft is going to be here next year.
Once the new convention center expansion is done as well, that's another million plus feet of convention space or something crazy along those lines, so we can get even more people here for their conventions.
It's a big deal. Finally, a former Nevada assemblyman by the name of Stephen Brooks was arrested for intimidating a police officer. He is a former Nevada assemblyman, again, Stephen Brooks, arrested again, according to the jail records. The 47-year-old faces charges of disorderly conduct, assault against a protected person, and two charges of intimidation of a police officer. So on April 28th, police were called to the Green Valley Grocery on East Lake Mead Boulevard because Brooks was in an altercation with a man and a woman. When the cops arrived at the scene, he told them that the man and woman attacked him, but after investigators, they said, no, actually, you started the fight and then caused damage to the store. Brooks then allegedly started making comments about hurting people and was placed in cuffs, and that's when he started to lose it. Cited for disorderly conduct, he refused to sign the citation, and then he told the police officers that he was an assemblyman, which he's not, he used to be, and that it was against the law to arrest a politician and that they would lose their jobs. He then proceeded to tell one of the officers that he was going to find him through public records and that he was effed, and then proceeded to say that he is going to go to the officer's home and blank his wife.
Oh, God.
Super.
Okay.
Got it.
So this guy, he was arrested for threatening the Assembly Speaker Marilyn Kilpatrick back in 2013.
Yep.
He also led officers on a high-speed chase all the way to Victorville, which he spent more than a year in jail for.
This guy, officer said that Brooks told him that he was going to put a, quote, green light on the officers.
Okay.
And at one point, he also tried to spit on one of the cops.
Also, there is really, like, I'm sorry to any of the Nevada assemblymen out there. Cool. Thank you. Doing your public duty.
You're fantastic, I'm sure.
We all know that's, like, the absolute lowest level of, like, public office that you could possibly have. Like,
is it?
Like, they're not going, like, dude, they arrest senators. They arrest governors. They're, like, how many governors of Illinois have been arrested over the years? Like, an assemblyman, you can't be arrested. Oh, really? Click. Get in the back of the car, Steven.
OBC 2019. Night 2, June 7th. Live at the Chelsea Inside the Cosmopolitan. Featured artist, K-Flay.
Like, what I could probably run and win for that office, it's not a good office.
I feel like these cops should be able to tase once for free a month, right? Yeah. I'm going to use it on Steven.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show present Misconnection Inspection.
It's all about people finding love and us doing our little part to help get them there. Normally, in the Misconnection Inspection, we have quite a few from the Home Depot. Today, only one from the Home Depot.
Not surprising.
And this isn't like, I saw you in the hardware aisle and I want to meet you in the bathroom. This one, a little bit more drawn out as far as the details. And definitely rambling, but let's get into it. Just entitled Home Depot. I went to buy some flowers, and there was no one at the garden center checkout. You showed up out of nowhere and said I was a good person since I could have just walked out with them. Not really true since there are cameras, but it really made my day. We got chatting, and I felt a connection. Then the register broke, and I checked to make sure the charge went through on my phone. I guess I am a good person. I asked to get some mulch in the parking lot as well, and you said that you'd get someone to help. It started pouring cold rain, and no one was coming, so I went back to say, hey, I'm just grabbing it, and you were gone. So I grabbed it and waited 5 minutes, and no one came, so I left. I felt really bad since probably someone did show up and was confused and waited. But I was in a rush to get this done, and I wanted to get it done before it got dark and rained more. That was 2 days ago, and I can't stop thinking about it. Overthinking, definitely, but just wanted to say sorry for not waiting, and I'd like to see you again.
This was
an employee that showed up? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I feel like this is man for woman, right, Ian?
I can assume that this is a man for woman. And to be honest with you, I read this as a customer, actually.
No, a customer waiting for the woman who works for Home Depot. Yeah, that's how...
That's some social anxiety, though.
Just go back to Home Depot.
Well, also, it doesn't really so much sound like a misconnection, more like a complaint on Yelp because the customer service sucks. Like, nobody was at the register failed, and then nobody helped me with the mulch. Like, what are you doing, Home Depot,
Your store sucks, but I love you. This next one's entitled, Sally, Can I Get My Coat Back? Hey, Sally.
Oh, Sally.
I would like to get my jean jacket back. Just call or leave me a message. Thanks, G. All right.
Gene and his jean jacket.
This one's entitled Girl at Fish Fry. You worked there. Blonde hair. I was on lunch and ordered 2 fish fry to go with cocktail sauce on the side on a Friday. You looked in my eyes pretty hard, or at least I thought, LOL. I just thought if you're interested, then you could get a hold of me. Smiley face. Hush. She looked puppies. At you, man.
I think.
Oh, man. For lunch, you ordered... fish fry with cocktail
Dude,
sauce to
be
go.
Stinky.
You're taking that back to the office, you monster.
You're nasty.
Put that in somebody your car.
Ian, please report this guy on. You flag got this on Craigslist.
Yep.
And report him to the FBI. This is inappropriate.
This guy's a monster.
This one's entitled "Special Tutoring," and I don't know if this is some sort of if there's some sort of code going on here or not.
Okay.
I don't think so. But retired educator looking to work with young 18 plus men seeking knowledge about contributions made by early historical figures such as Jackson, Hamilton, and Lincoln, etc. If interested, an entry test will show how well you fit into the sessions. Looking for those who wish to rise to the top levels each session and enjoy learning about these contributions. Reply for more information.
It does sound like there's a lot of innuendos, rise up.
Nothing seems fundamentally dirty about this, but the fact that you said...
rise to the top.
Fact that you said 18 plus, that's the thing where you're like...
That's where it gets dicey.
What presidents were... It was Jackson, Hamilton,
and Lincoln.
All the cliche ones.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think of what did Hamilton do?
Did you just open your wallet and look at the
this is what I have.
The presidents on the money?
So
hold on. Jackson's on what bill? Is he on the 20?
20.
And then Hamilton's on the 10. We got $35 for $35.
Well, I did email this guy because I wanted all of us to take the entry
test.
This
was a guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like a dude.
Oh, I thought that was a woman.
I want us all to take the entry test.
No, this is gay love, for sure.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I want to take that test. I want to see how we do.
Well, it's going to cost you $35.
$35.
Luckily, there are no Franklins involved.
Like we just got out of the escape room.
Yeah, we cracked the code, guys.
This one entitled Hot Blonde at Walmart. If you still need somebody to change your oil, I'm your guy. Maybe you can make me dinner for payment.
Or maybe she can just have her car changed.
Could you just put air in my tires, you creep?
Mornings on X 107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
So Tori Spelling is in a whole lot of debt, her and her husband Dean McDermott.
Uh-huh.
There was a warrant issued for Tori Spelling's arrest.
Oh, dang.
That's actually been dropped now. Amid her ongoing legal battle with the bank that is suing her and her husband for failing to make payments on a $400,000 loan. A bench warrant was issued for the actress after she skipped out on a March 29th court hearing and a judge set her bail at $5,000. Warrant has now been dismissed and the mother of five is ordered to be deposed on May 10th, where she'll face questions under oath about her finances. Just to kind of give you an idea of where they are right now. This comes as good news, at least for the time being, for the financially troubled star. Been in hot water over the years-long lawsuit with City National Bank, which is demanding the couple pay back over $250,000 in debt. So she's 45, he's 52. They've struggled to make ends meet since their reality shows on Oxygen and Lifetime were canceled.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She was on The Masked Singer, I believe.
Yeah, she was.
Wasn't she?
Was she?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, I believe so.
Is she like one of the judges? Or
no, she was a contestant, I believe. Yeah.
Trying anything. Okay. Here's what they owe right now. So they owe American Express $88,000 and $37,000, which is a lot of money, but it's not impossible to overcome. Mm-hmm. California state taxes, they owe almost $283,000 there. And they owe the IRS over $707,000.
So this seems like a lot of money, right?
I mean, yeah, you're talking about over $1 million.
Certainly.
Combined, yeah.
But, so, you know, her father, the reason why Tori Spelling is famous is Aaron Spelling.
Yeah, he's the creator of 90210 and a bunch of
other shows. Yeah.
So you're talking about $1.5 billion total in debt.
Million.
But her
father passed in 2006, leaving pretty much, I guess, all of the money to his wife, their mother,
yeah.
Candy Spelling, but they're estranged.
Yeah.
So
Candy hates Tori, I guess, partially because of her husband, and it's just the relationship is soured.
But Aaron Spelling was worth $600 million when he died.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know if she's just completely cut out of that will or not.
I don't know.
But they...
She did recently sign on to the 90210 reboot, so hopefully that'll help them get this
do
right.
Do you think that's really going to take off?
I mean, I don't know.
Do we really want to see a 50-year-old Tori Spelling?
She's only 45.
And plus Jason Priestley's great, but... Luke Perry passed.
Yeah,
if Luke Perry's not going to be involved,
you need those sideburns, man.
So they released the list of the Hollywood salaries, and it includes Netflix shelling out huge money to one Ryan Reynolds, who is at the top of the list for the highest paid celebrities. Ryan Reynolds for Six Underground, which has no release date yet, is going to be on Netflix, and Netflix paid Ryan Reynolds $27 million for that.
Are the sneaker pimps getting a piece of that?
I'm not sure.
They better be.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw. He got $20 million for that.
Okay.
Robert Downey Jr. is going to be in The Voyage of Dr. Doolittle in 2020. He is getting $20 million for that.
I mean, Robert Downey Jr. is definitely getting a piece of Infinity War. Or, excuse me,
Endgame
as well. So I feel like him only being at $20 million seems pretty low, considering that movie made made more than $1 billion worldwide in the first weekend.
Will Smith, Bad Boys for Life, $17 million.
Okay.
Jason Statham got $13 million for Hobbs and Shaw.
Wasn't Will Smith a $20 million actor for a while too, though?
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
With Will Smith?
Yeah.
Oh, he's at 17. He's all right.
I mean, it's going down.
I mean, Tom Cruise. $12 to $14 million for Top Gun Maverick.
He was a $20 million actor as well.
Yeah. Dang.
Are they just getting pieces on the back end?
That's gotta be it, right?
Has to be.
Because Brad Pitt is on the list at number 9 for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood at $10 million.
I believe that though, because Quentin Tarantino, who's the director of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, traditionally doesn't have these huge budgets to
Leonardo
do.
Leonardo DiCaprio also took $10 million. Which is half his normal rate. He's normally $20 million.
Yeah, both those guys are $20 million guys, but if you're gonna work with Tarantino.
Can you imagine that being your rate?
$20 million?
Yeah, yeah. We want this guy in our film. It's gonna take, 3 months of work, $20 million.
Yeah, that seems pretty.
$20 million. I want a piece of the back end and all of these other demands that you have to meet. Man.
I want a trailer with AstroTurf on top.
Yes.
What?
It keeps the cool the trailer cooler.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah. You'll learn that once you get into.
Have you been?
You're not there.
Have
yet.
You been specking out your demands list?
That's right. That's why our contract.
That's why our contract's not done. Where do you even buy AstroTurf? I don't.
Dave and Mahoney weekday mornings 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.
And not just any AstroTurf. I want AstroTurf from Busch Stadium in St. Louis, circa 1988.
Yeah.
I want that AstroTurf.
The real ass in AstroTurf.
Yeah.
Puts the ass in AstroTurf.
That's right.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, Mahoney, if your mind was an island, what would that island look like? Like, would it be littered with wet white packs? Would it always be raining? What do you think?
Message deleted.
I would certainly have a stockpile of wet wipes and Blistex on that island. No doubt. Like, I mean,
if it was Mahoney Island, I imagine that it would look good from a distance. But when you started to get closer to it, you'd realize it's quite dangerous. The natives are restless.
You know, it might be a volcano on there, depending on
what you had for lunch.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Lazy Bones, you've told that story about your gallbladder a handful of times, and that sounds super painful, but was that the worst pain you've ever felt? That's what I want to know. Dave, I want to know yours, too.
Message deleted.
The gallbladder pain, when Dave destroyed my gallbladder about 10 years ago, now 11 years ago at this point, that
saved
my last 11 years have been really rough. And speaking of the lunch and the volcano, you know, that's directly before that I had a stomach of iron. Now I can barely even enjoy greasy foods anymore, because of you. That hurt, but it wasn't the worst pain that I've ever had. The worst pain that I've ever had is when I went over my handlebars on my bike going downhill and like slid into home basically without a shirt on down the asphalt and had to get a bunch of stitches in my face and all the skin on my chest was ripped off.
Yeah,
actually that wasn't the worst pain. The worst pain is when my mom threw me in the shower to wash it off when I got home.
The worst pain that I've ever felt is Mahoney and I have boxed twice now for different events here at the radio station and the worst pain that I ever felt is the second time that Mahoney and I boxed. I just beat him up so badly that it really hurt to see him bleeding so much.
Did that what it was?
Okay. Oh.
Okay.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, guys. Good morning. So, do any of you remember the last time your mouth worked quicker than your brain? Maybe you said something you shouldn't have and were kicking yourself after. Happens to me all the time.
Message deleted.
I mean, every day, all day.
Yeah.
I think that's a real problem that, you know, my brain's just so fast. My mouth can't keep up.
Yeah. The last time my mouth worked faster than my brain, my wife said yes to get married.
Dave and Mahoney, weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
Add something else to the list that is killing us. Now, protein drinks are bad for us.
Of course they are.
I love protein drinks.
May do you more harm than good, according to a new study. Weight gain, mood changes, even shorten life expectancy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to die?
You're going to die quicker if you enjoy these. The health and wellness industry is booming in the U.S., but researchers often take some time to catch up and try to disprove the benefits of the latest diet and fitness fads. Protein is the latest to fall as scientists discovered that consuming too much of the same kind of protein contributes to poorer overall health. So the supplement business, how much do you think they bring in?
Billions. Billions.
Every year. Worldwide.
$30 billion?
Nah, it's less than that. But $14 billion.
It's still in the billions. Yeah.
It's a ton of money.
$14 billion. And what's crazy is like when you buy the big thing of protein, it costs you like $80, but it costs
like $2.
3 cents to make.
Yeah.
It's nuts. So if you want to save yourself the $80 on the big old thing of protein, use this study. It's bad for you.
Do any of you do protein shakes or protein bars or anything?
I have in the past. I've got like a bunch of those things like in my pantry at home or every time I'm on like a a health kick.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm gonna, first thing I do is log on to Amazon or bodybuilding.com and start buying all this crap. I'm like, if I just buy this stuff, I'm going to be in awesome shape. And then I realize
you got to do the work.
You have to go to the gym and sweat a lot.
It's a process.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
I look at, you know, a lot of those supplements too. It's like, there's a couple guys who I follow who I really respect their opinions. When it comes to like health and diet and like anything that's like this is the one magic cure. There's no like one magic
cure. There is
cure.
No shortcut. No. Because if there was, everyone would do it.
I look at a guy like Mike Dolce. You know, Mike Dolce, you know, is very outspoken about like diet. You know, he's a very well regarded trainer in that world,
and he's about eating real food. It's not, none of the fad diets nonsense.
None of that. And he's like,
but the thing with Mike Dolce is like he's really into it. So if you're like half committed, it's not going to work.
It's not. You got to
buy into it. But if you do, the results will be amazing. Yeah. But it's like the pre-energy workout stuff. He's like, why are you putting this neon crap that's not approved by the FDA into your body?
Yeah.
Like this is not.
Have you ever taken one of those pre-workouts and it makes it makes you tingle?
No.
Oh yeah.
I don't.
Oh yeah. It makes you like itch and tingle. I'm like, what are they? Just take drink a bunch of meth. Like, what's going on here?
I may put a lot of garbage into my body, but there's a few things that I'm just like the energy drinks. I am very, very. I stay away. I stay away from and like all those, you know, the supplements. Like, I have friends who are like, oh, let's go to GNC and just get whatever. It's not approved by the
FDA. You have friends that are trying to drag you to GNC to buy supplements. You have
my hair stylist Otto.
He's like, let's go to GNC together.
He actually took me there one time, and we did like it was like when I was on a fit kick.
Oh, okay.
Right. But then again, like when you go to a place like GNC, I mean, you don't know what your body needs.
Well, the stuff that's like FDA approved. That's the thing where I don't know. It's because this is like
FDA approved. It's not going to work.
Supplement
just sucks. You have to eat clean and
work out. Move. Yeah, that's the secret to it. They did one of those like little body scan things on me.
Oh, yeah?
You ever done one of those?
Yeah, yeah.
And they like give you like your muscle density and stuff like that. Yeah. They're like, do you? I've never seen such a disparity between right and left arm. Did you like hurt your arm? Did you break your arm? Did you like? Do you not use your left arm?
Don't
for anything?
Worry about it.
Are you serious?
We've never seen.
I swear to God.
Like, this is really off the charts. What is?
Why is your right arm?
It's so strong. Your right arm is like that of Popeye. Wow. It's unbelievable.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
I was lonely in my 20s and most of my 30s. And earlier today, twice.
So lonely.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So what is the most expensive, valuable, maybe it was just something that you personally hold dear to your heart that your kids managed to ruin?
Yep.
This one got texted over to us at 73100. At Christmas time, I had all these beautiful snow globes that were irreplaceable. And my stepkids decided they were going to play football in the house. And of course, the football hit one and busted it to pieces.
Oh, no.
Bless their heart.
It's even somehow worse when it's a collectible, right?
Yeah, it's something of sentimental value. I mean, you always talk about how you carved your name in the side of your parents' minivan. And
sweet
then
ass brand new Dodge Caravan.
Swore that it was another kid named Jason that did it.
Son of a bitch. Set me up. Perfect crime.
But yeah, when it's something of sentimental value that you can't just throw money at and fix, that sucks. This one, my two oldest taped over, I assume they're talking about VHS tape, taped over my ultrasounds and 5 years of memories. Christmas, Easter, birthdays, and me performing live for a singing contest. And what was in the place of the perfect memories?
What was it?
SpongeBob SquarePants and other assorted cartoons.
Yeah.
Thanks, kids. You suck.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
What is something that you ruined as a kid? Maybe it's something of great sentimental value to your family. Maybe it's now that you're a parent, kids of your own. They've destroyed something really expensive or something that meant a lot. Darcy is joining us this morning. What's up, Darcy?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So is this something that your kid destroyed or was it you as a kid?
My kid.
Your kid. All right. My did this little monster do?
Well, her name is Callie, and she, I was playing the game SSX Tricky, the snowboarding game. Got my character all the way up to the highest level. I had every costume, every board. She decides to play it one day, and erases everything.
How
never picked up the game again.
What game was it?
SSX Tricky, the snowboarding game.
Oh, okay. On PlayStation. Yeah,
I thought you said Sex Tricky.
I thought you said Sex Turkey as well.
Sex Turkey.
I thought you said Sex Turkey. I was like, I'm not familiar with that game. I know how to draw the hand turkey.
But I would like to learn it.
Gobble, gobble.
So how many hours did you have invested in the game at the time?
Oh, my gosh. It must have had at least 6 months.
Six months. Yeah. That's the worst.
No.
6 months every day. Had every, like I said, I had every costume, every sport. Yeah. She was top ranked, you know. Yeah.
The worst. All right. Thank you for the call. Have a good day.
Oh, my gosh.
Andy, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So you had one as well?
Yeah. I was like 5 or 6 years old. My dad bought a brand new lawnmower. And I basically ripped the motor apart out of it. And my dad was more proud than he was mad that I have the mechanical ability to do that at that age. But
at 5 or 6, you took a motor apart from a brand new lawnmower?
Yeah.
Do you know what you were trying to do with that motor?
I knew I was trying to take it apart.
Success. Like,
build a go-kart or something along those lines.
There's something about curiosity as a kid, because I did that a few times when I was younger, where you take something apart. Like, I remember taking apart a phone one time, one of the old rotary phones.
You want to
see what's inside. And like you think that you have the real ability to put it all back together. Yeah. You're like, it's easy. Like,
I saw
just
how I took it apart. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you just look down and there's just all of these pieces.
Oh, no.
You're like, I'm going to go do something else. Yeah.
And that's how you get a spanking with one of those rotary phones, Dave.
That's right. I think it hurts, man.
Hell yeah,
you ever been hit with a rotary phone?
Mm-mm.
Thank you for the call today, man. So speaking of lawnmowers, I distinctly remember as a young lad, part of my business, being a young entrepreneur, was mowing lawns.
Yeah.
Growing up in rural Minnesota, as you may expect,
a lot of lawns.
A lot of lawns.
Yeah.
And there was this resort that was down the road from us. It's called Fox's Resort, and they had a bunch of cabins, but they had a bunch of land, too. And so I got the gig, got the nod to be their lawnmower, and they had a riding mower.
Oh, damn.
And I was look out.
You're living on
coming
man.
Through.
Cloud nine. Yep.
And the first day out on the riding mower, I trashed it.
How?
It was one of the, you know, like when there's a big tree, sometimes it has roots that kind of come out of the ground a little bit, just right over one of those. And just,
oh, no.
I felt the thing actually lift off the ground. I'm like, ooh, boy.
This isn't good.
And I look down, and just the blade is just bent to all hell. I'm like,
did you try to like bend it back?
Oh yeah.
Did you just leave it there and just torch it and
just
disappear into
light
the night?
On fire and roll it into the lake?
This is the David Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Did they retain you as a lawn boy?
They did. They were less than impressed that I'd found the stump. But they kept me around.
David Mahoney.
What's something that you ruined as a kid? Or if you have kids yourself, the most valuable thing that they ruin to you monetarily, maybe it's sentimental value. This one got texted over to us at 73100. Backed my dad's work truck into his personal truck in the driveway of his house. I was leaving to pick up my girlfriend at the time, and he had to get a whole new bed for his personal truck.
Did you ever wreck the family car in any way, shape, or form, Dave?
My parents also had just gotten a sweet blue Dodge minivan.
Hell yeah.
And I was backing up in the driveway at 16 years old and promptly crashed into a metal rocking chair. I don't know why my parents had metal rocking chairs. Uh-huh. Maybe because, like, the harsh weather in Minnesota, durable, you know, the wood wouldn't have been enough to withstand.
Yeah, that would...
But they were metal rocking chairs, and I was whipping that bitch around in reverse, feeling good about my driving and backing up skills, and just scraped all the way down the side.
Oh, no.
But beyond that, I've pretty much wrecked all of the cars that I've owned, but never wrecked any of my parents' cars other than that.
I blew out a tire on another minivan that my parents had.
Mm-hmm.
Driving, I hit a median.
Oh, God.
Going like 70 on the highway, and that kind of blew out the tire, messed up the rim.
My buddy Nathan in high school, he got to drive his dad's classic BMW.
Oh, no.
And he wrecked that bitch into a tree, totaled it. His dad had kept this BMW Cherry since he was in college.
Oh, gosh.
And sweet car. It was a 3 Series BMW that his dad just loved, but it was pristine.
Mm-hmm.
And Nathan took it out one day, just lost control, hit a little bit of water, and just...
That's the worst.
Yeah. He's like, my dad just told me he was glad I was okay. I'm like, that's what he told you, but let's not get ourselves.
He is writing you out of the will.
Yeah. by just a chance of bad luck, was 11 years old, and I was playing a game of baseball in the street, and a neighbor had a Dodge Viper at the time parked in their driveway.
Oh, no.
Friend took a swing of the bat at the ball, and the bat slipped out of his hands and cracked the back windshield of the Viper.
Better the windshield than anything else, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It doesn't, as a kid, you probably don't think about it. You think, like, breaking the windshield or breaking the glass is probably the worst possible thing.
Most of that's covered by insurance anyhow.
Well, and it's cheaper than doing body work.
Right.
Body work is so expensive. But on a badass Dodge Viper.
Dodge Vipers used to be
That was like my dream car.
Oh, that was every, every young.
God, I wanna...
Look at that thing. It looks like a real snake.
From the future.
Oh, my God.
It's going to come out bite you.
I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you.
Where's my anti-venom?
Too much. Going to Facebook here. Leanna said, my kids destroyed my vagina. Does that count?
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Speaking of wrecking cars, amongst other things, as a kid, our good friend Mallory said, definitely totaled two of my dad's Cadillacs.
Oh, dang. Man.
Stacy said, my dad's Ram Charger. I couldn't drive for S and ran into everything. I mean, to be fair, it is a Ram Charger.
You're charging.
You kind of have a built-in excuse there.
I mean, I thought it said Ram on the front.
Brian said, I certainly ruined my parents' lives. Amanda, oh, I spent my dad's rare coin collection on candy at the corner store.
Oh, no.
On candy. Stephanie said, we moved into a cool old house when I was around 12. My younger sister and I got curious about what was up in the attic. We found some old bottles, knickknacks, dishes. One part of the floor wasn't covered with wood. I stepped on the drywall and fell straight through it. I did a cover-up, though. It was raining that day. I soaked the part that I fell through with some water real good and told my mom the ceiling just fell through. She believed me. I don't think there's a statute of limitations on that, man. I think she's going to read that.
Yeah.
Crashed my parents' 1981 911 Porsche into a brand new washer and dryer.
What? Oh my gosh.
Almost hit the gas line of the house and had to wash everyone's laundry at a laundromat for weeks. I was in the eighth grade. You're not old enough to drive in the eighth grade,
man.
Right?
No, man.
Let alone their 911 Porsche, like into your own house.
Yeah.
Oh.
And a new washer and dryer.
Jorge said, in kindergarten, we had a butterfly habitat. And they were in the cocoon stage, stuck on the wall, the side of the wall of the box. And I wanted to hurry the process up, so I shook the box.
Oh, no.
And two of the five fell to the bottom of the enclosure, and the butterflies came out. I blamed it on the troublemaker in class named Carlos. I still feel guilty to this day because he went on to become a really big troublemaker.
You set it up for destiny.
That's literally the butterfly effect. One small action.
Dave Mahoney. Weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Welcome to Alternative Theater.
Ryan is joining us this morning here on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Hello, Ryan. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Is this your first thespian experience?
It is.
Well, congratulations. Are you prepared to do this in front of everyone?
I'm a little nervous.
All right,
we know that you may have watched a thespian experience or two in the cinema or at home in the privacy of your computer room.
This is going to be a little bit different. Mahoney and I are going to be the thespians that you are going to be tangling with.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to be performing popular alternative songs. And you're trying to figure out the artist and the song for a full point. If you get just the artist or the song, you get a half point. If you get two out of the three, you're going to be our winner today, okay?
One very important note is
do not interrupt. We'll tell you when we are done. We will say scene because Mahoney gets rather moody and he'll storm off to his trailer.
Do not insult the talent by interrupting.
Oh, God.
Looks like you're ready, my friend. Here we go. Best of luck to you, Ryan.
Okay.
You guys want to warm up?
Number one. What have you gathered to report to your progenitors?
Are your excuses any better than your senators?
He held a conference and his wife was standing by his side.
He did her dirty, but no one died.
I saw Sonny Liston on the street last night.
Black-fisted and strong, singing redemption song.
He motioned me to the sky.
I heard heaven and thunder cry.
Run. For cover. Scene. Any guesses?
No, I really
you
lost.
Son of a bitch!
One.
You theater hating peasant.
It's a newer song, and I did say the title of the song last. If you remember what I said,
I didn't know.
It's all right. You're allowed to get one wrong. That was The Killers and Run for Cover.
I try to bring theater to the masses, and this is what I get.
Yeah.
People who don't care.
No, Ryan cares. That was a newer song.
He's on his phone, okay. I bet. Not paying attention.
The end just sounded like crumpling paper. I don't know.
All right, here we go. Bitch. On to number two. You're still very much alive. Here we go. April 26, 1992. There were riots in the street. Tell me, where were you?
You were sitting home watching your TV while I was participating in some anarchy. First spot we hit was my liquor store.
I finally got all that alcohol I can't afford. With red lights flashing, it's time to retire. And we turned that liquor store into a structure fire.
Etsy.
That one is sublime.
Yeah.
April
26th.
1992.
Close enough. You got it.
It was literally the first line.
Yeah, it's April 26, 1992 by Sublime. We'll give you a full point on that one, all right?
Day the all right. LA riots started.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
long time ago. It's all right. Sure. Here we go. On to number three. And if you get this one correct, artist and song, you win. Simple enough?
That sounds good.
All right, here we go. Must be your skin that I'm sinking in.
Must be for real! Cause now I can feel.
And I didn't mind.
It's not my kind.
It's not my time to wonder why.
Everything's gone white.
And everything's gray.
Now you're here. Now you're away.
I don't want this.
Remember that.
I'll never forget where you're at.
Don't let the days go by.
Glycerine. And see. For the win. Come on, Ryan. What do you got, man?
That is Glycerin by Bush.
You did it.
Mahoney. That was...
I'm spent.
Wow.
Don't look at me in the eyes. Don't you look at me in the eyes. Don't you look at me in the eyes, Sylvia.
You want to smoke?
Mornings on X107.5 with David Mahoney.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
The picture really does additional justice. I would suggest going and checking it out on our Twitter, at David Mahoney. But a Florida man robbed a gas station while wearing a drawn-on goatee.
Hell yeah.
Took like a Sharpie and drew it on. The Pasco County Sheriff's Office is searching for a robbery suspect who drew the fake beard on himself. Authorities described the man as a heavy-set white male in his 30s wearing a red bandana and obviously some sort of Sharpie goatee. Incident happened at the Holiday gas station. He drove off in his gray Toyota with the extended cab truck.
You were out last week, Dave. You can't grow facial hair.
Don't appreciate you.
I know you have a love for red bandanas in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
What were you doing?
Dave.
Do you want to come clean? That gentleman looks a lot like you.
Does he? You son of a bitch. He's terrible looking. And the goatee, the beard that
it's
he drew
so
on.
So bad.
I mean, it does look like a beard that I would grow because it's all patchy.
Yeah.
It's just terrible. Everything about it's just awful. But yeah, no, I was not in Florida last week.
How do they not catch this guy?
You know, I'm not sure. You're like,
how many guys are walking around with drawn on beards?
Or if you took it off, the guy whose face is now all red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you just get a docking, right? If you got a Sharpie.
Put a mask on.
A mask.
Anything but that, you dummy.
Or glue on those fake beards.
A pair
beards.
Of boxers over your head.
Anything. Kenneth D. Kenton, 50 years old, faces a felony count of hit and run causing injury after a March encounter with a bartender at Fin and Feather in Florida. He was hanging out at the bar March 14th, was being loud and disruptive before trying to bring his dog into the building. And then the bartender told the cops later on that he showed up with the dog and they said, "Guys, you can't bring your dog into the bar." After some time passed, the bartender thought that he might have intentionally damaged his car, so he went out to get the guy's license plate. He walked within 5 feet of his car, and that's when the man gunned it and accelerated towards the bartender. The car hit the bartender, who flew onto the hood and injured his elbow, and the vehicle then sped off. Witnesses provided the license plate number to cops, and the bartender later identified him through a photo array of possible suspects. But this guy ran over the bartender because he wouldn't let him bring his dumb dog into the bar.
Your dog does not need to be in the bar. There are bars for dogs.
There are that
specifically cater to people with dogs. Your dog does not need to be in Target. Your dog does not need to be in a bar that doesn't allow dogs.
Oh, maybe he has some problems of his own. Needs that forgetful juice.
What, the dog?
Beer, yeah.
Yeah, like his dad is Kenneth the drunk who's going to run over bartenders.
He needs to drown his sorrows.
Just, come on, man. Give me a shot of whiskey. Argument that we already have the grandson of the year. I mean, it's just the beginning of May, but authorities say a Western Pennsylvania man flushed his grandparents' ashes down a toilet after his mom kicked him out of her home.
Oh. Good night, sweet prince.
Thomas Wells was arraigned Monday on two counts of abuse of a corpse and criminal mischief. Police say the 33-year-old Pittsburgh man had been staying at his mom's for a brief time before she asked him to leave last September. The mom told police in February that a relative told her that Wells had flushed her parents' ashes before he left.
That is certainly one of the worst possible things that you could do, but I don't know about abuse of a corpse if it's ashes, right? Because if a corpse implies a body.
A body, yeah.
Ashes are, yes, the ashes of a body, but like...
No, it's not a body.
Yeah.
Authorities said Wells told his mom he had not flushed the ashes down the toilet, but the mom said Wells later said that he would flush her remains after she dies.
Oh, my God, dude. No wonder she wants you out.
Ugh.
Leave.
So there's a story in WWE between two writers, Cornette and Vince Russo, where in one, I think it's in Cornette's will that he will leave nothing to his wife if he is of able body and or is still alive and she does not take him to one of the other's grave sites to urinate on his grave. Like, I mean,
you know, I feel like that is a good storyline. I don't have a mortal enemy of that caliber yet.
Yeah,
but if coming. I do, yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Do you know? Are you going to be buried? Or are you going cremation?
I don't care. Whatever.
Don't care?
Yeah. I mean, if
there's
like,
be buried.
There's not like a family plot or anything where like the whole family is buried. So
I don't even want a funeral.
You don't?
Nah.
No, you just.
If I die, just, you know, like, hey, RIP on my Facebook. That's good enough for me.
I'll always miss you. And finally, a Florida man was caught red-handed with a full rack of ribs in his pants. Police say they caught the 26-year-old. He was booked on petty merchant theft. Was caught walking out of a local grocery store in Indiantown, Florida. The ribs weren't the only item that they found in his pants. The man was also apprehended with two packs of hamburger buns.
Hell yeah.
Nine pieces of fried chicken.
Hell yeah.
And some mashed potatoes. Oh, my God.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, everyone. What's your favorite type of soup? I'm looking to expand my soup palate and looking to try something new. Surprise me.
Message deleted.
I don't know if it's a surprise, but broccoli cheddar.
I think that's a top-notch soup for anyone.
You have some French bread, you dip it in there.
Oh, yeah. I put so much pepper in there. It's like, I mean, like, I almost get self-conscious when the guys come by with a little pepper thing. I'm like, because there's really no such thing as too much pepper in soup.
Have you ever gotten a one of the bread bowls from Panera, and you eat it, and like you're scraping up all the soup, and there's a little bread in there, and then you just also eat all of the bread bowl that's remaining?
That's why you order the bread bowl.
It's not
for, it's not there to look pretty. Right, it's there to be eaten.
Just want to make sure that.
No, everyone's on board, man.
Okay. I'll agree with you with the broccoli cheddar. I really like a lobster bisque well. But
The Texas State Brazil, their lobster bisque.
Had some with Bossy Rossi not too long ago. But I'm gonna change the game. A soup that you probably aren't really that you may be familiar with, but maybe not. Hot and sour soup. Like from Chinese food places.
Never had it.
Hot and sour soup is like my absolute favorite.
What about a good clam chowder?
Good clam chowder's good.
Like when it's so good clam chowder that there's a little bit of sand in the clams and you don't even mind it because you're like, this is so authentic.
But it can go so sideways, though. That's the only problem with the soups that have the seafood in them.
I do love a good soup.
Try some hot and sour soup. It'll change the game.
It's too hot for soup now.
No, it's not. It's never too hot for soup.
No?
It could be 100 degrees outside.
Although soup is better when it's chilly.
It's when it's when it's freezing outside.
Yeah, when it's cold outside.
It's a universal food that is should be enjoyed year-round.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, any of you have bottled water preference? Some people say they taste different, but I don't taste it. Is my palate all messed up?
Message deleted.
Yeah, bottled water definitely tastes different.
Mm-hmm.
Wait,
like
there's so many different flavors.
Like if you have like the deer spring, the I don't know if it's actually spring water, but you taste the bear poop in it.
I like the I stick with the Kirkland brand bottled water traditionally.
From Costco? Yeah.
But if I'm buying, like if I'm at a gas station on a trip or whatever and I've run out of bottled water, I'll admit I'm a sucker and I go for the Fiji.
Oh, do you see? I prefer the
Fiji too.
The Fiji feels fancy.
It does. Because it's the bottle,
like when you're at the airport, you're like, I'm going to take this Fiji. Look at how rich I am.
It's so pretty.
Yeah, but have you ever been so ashamed of your cheap water that you bought?
You pour it into a Fiji bottle?
No.
Yeah, I used to do that all the time.
You rip the label off? People think it's, I don't know, Arrowhead instead of the Kroger brand?
I don't mind that. Like most grocery store brands are good, but there's a couple out there.
Do you know what I like because the shape?
Smart water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
I kind of like
so
flipping
clean.
It around like it's a baton and like hitting people with it. Boom, piss me off. Get out of here.
I've switched to
with the water still inside.
The vat.
Yeah.
That hurts, man.
Yeah. A little club. Aqua Club in your face.
Are you on the sparkling water train yet?
No.
Why not, man?
I don't. Carbonation doesn't really excite me.
Really?
It does. It doesn't.
Just, like
dead inside?
No. Yeah. Well, yes, dead inside. But no, just never. Everything I drink, for the most part, is coffee, water, and red wine.
I got
no carbonation.
I got Bossy Rossi on that Perrier Lime Slim Can.
Dude.
On that game, game changer. Game changer.
Perrier's
move
good.
Over to LaCroix, you basic ass bitch.
Oh.
It's all about Perrier, lime, and or grape.
Man. Fighting words.
Oof.
You're going to get the water club.
Please leave a message after the tone.
We all know a lot of people with great voices, but say you had nothing but money and an audiobook on your life. Who would you want to narrate it for you?
Message deleted.
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones is really good. Matthew McConaughey.
I was going to say that. Matthew McConaughey. We heard his, like, that sleepy time.
That app
time.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
The sleepy time app that he did. And
yeah.
It's smooth.
Morgan
smooth
Freeman's been ruined for me.
He's yeah, because he's a terrible person.
Bag.
Yeah.
Or Gilbert Gottfried. I would like to hear Gilbert Gottfried read
no,
War and
that,
Peace.
Jason Mahoney was born.
Dave and Mahoney. Weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Stop stories. Here's what's making news.
So this is a wild story about a bank heist. This is like quality movie level stuff. It didn't work, but it was close.
It came so close.
Really close.
Okay.
So this guy, whose name is Gerardo, he was a vault manager for Key Bank branch in Anchorage, Alaska back in 2011. And he cooked up this scheme to rob his employers and flee the country. And he meticulously plotted out this heist and the getaway, having his brother buy him an AK-47, buying a plane ticket to Seattle for his girlfriend, and using a bogus employee training exercise to remove the dual controls from the vault. So it was late July of that year. He stole $30,000 from the bank and then used that money, part of it, to rent a private jet. A day later, he told his boss that he was staying late to organize an ice cream social for customers. When everyone was gone, he went into the vault, he boxed up $4.3 million in cash, rolled it to the parking lot, drove to the private jet, flew to Seattle, where his girlfriend was waiting for him, according to court docs. He plunked down $19,000 for a car and headed south. He then had previously, before he left, set the timer on the vault lock to 6 days at the bank and mailed his and his girlfriend's cell phones to New York to throw off investigators. He managed to drive all the way to Mexico before the theft was discovered. Unfortunately for him, at the checkpoint, cops inspected his luggage, found $3.8 million in cash and firearms. He was arrested and convicted of money laundering and firearm smuggling, spent 7 years in a Mexican jail that he called, quote, the filthiest place imaginable, and then was extradited back to Alaska, where he pleaded guilty, sentenced to 10 years in prison.
10 more years.
Yep.
Wow.
On top of that. This is where I feel like he went wrong. fly to Costa Rica. Don't drive into Mexico with $4 million. And if you are, make sure that you've paid the right people off.
Yeah. And also, what's the point of the AK-47? Because if they find that...
Get it after the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, get that gun after the fact. Like, you were so close. You thought of so much.
He was very detailed.
Very detailed.
Don't go to Mexico. Costa Rica's the way to go. Plus, your money will go so much further in Costa Rica.
So, somebody texted over that the festival they think the herpes outbreak was Coachella?
Yep.
Incorrect.
There was a outbreak at Coachella, though. Yeah.
Of herpes?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, I guess this is every music festival then. Stagecoach Festival, the big country one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Herpes rates are high at Stagecoach, which is the annual country music festival that follows Coachella. And last weekend, 114 people were diagnosed and sought treatment for the STD. That's
that
a
weekend?
Lot. Yeah.
In a weekend? What are you doing, man?
Well, I mean, they have like pool parties too.
That's not how this works.
Herp Alert, which is an online company that helps educate and research herpes rates, normally deals with about 12 cases a day in that region. Herpes, incurable infectious disease transmitted by contact, but while the virus cannot be eliminated, it can be treated very well, better than most other viruses like measles, for example.
Sure.
If you're going to a music festival,
wrap it.
Yeah.
I would say, let's take that a step further. If you're going to just hook up with a total random stranger that you just met,
yeah, mm-hmm. Be careful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you clean? I don't know if that.
Yeah. Well, you're both hammered, and you go, "Do you have anything I need to be worried about?" Probably cover.
Do you need to worry about this? No.
No, it's fine.
I can't believe
they lied to me.
Yeah. And last but not least, you thought the bank heist story was good.
What do we got?
Oh God.
Let me introduce you to Freddie the Parrot, who has had a rough go, man. This poor guy. He's a parrot that lives at a zoo in Brazil, and he thankfully managed to find his way back to the zoo after he was stolen while recovering from a 4-year nightmare.
Who steals a parrot?
Yeah, why would you want a parrot?
I don't know. This poor bird got shot in a gun battle.
Oh, my God.
Abducted by armed thieves and was bitten by a snake.
God dang it.
He was first brought to the zoo about 4 years ago, having been severely injured in a shootout between the police and the gangsters during a raid on a drug den where he had lived with his villain owner. The turquoise-fronted Amazon parrot was at the zoo on the night of April 16th. Earlier this month, just to double down on how bad things have been going for poor Freddy Krueger the parrot.
Yeah.
He was bitten on the leg by a snake. Thankfully, it was a non-venomous snake. He bled profusely but survived, to be stolen days later by 3 armed raiders who burst into the zoo, overpowered the security guards, and made off with 2 parrots and a cylinder of gas. What in the hell is going on? Two days later, Freddy, who has 9 lives, he was discovered by the zoo staff sitting at the foot of a pine tree right beside his cage.
He
flew back. He escaped and he flew back.
Why are you stealing just 2 parrots if you're robbing a zoo?
If you're robbing a zoo, 2 parrots and a tank of gas?
Yeah, right.
Like, you're going to storm in armed and why are you robbing a zoo in the first place? What a terrible place to rob.
Like a cooler animal,
like a lion or a tiger.
If you made off with like 3 pumas and a bunch of gasoline, you're okay, like, hey, sure. Yeah, man.
It's the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
There's a black market for that. I could sell one of these tigers to Mike Tyson, make a bunch of money.
I don't think Mike Tyson has. I'm going to buy tiger money anymore.
Yeah, he's coming back. He's doing all right.
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
All right, here is today's question for Know the Show.
It's Know the Show with Dave and Mahoney.
I did that a few times when I was younger where you take something apart. Like, I remember taking apart one of the old... You
want to
see what's inside.
And that's how you get a spanking with one of those, Dave.
Yeah, I made the mistake of taking this apart when I was younger. 702-791-1075 is the phone number. First person with the correct answer gets tickets to go see Taking Back Sunday. They are in town this weekend. House of Blues on Saturday and Sunday, May 4th and 5th. Plus, you get qualified for the grand prize, meet and greet passes for Taking Back Sunday.
Nice.
We were talking earlier about all of the things that you destroyed when you were younger.
Yeah.
And I think back to how much we ruined the bedroom that we shared. Mm-hmm. At one point, before my parents put the extension on the house,
yeah,
the addition, whatever you want to call it, there was 5 boys all sharing one room.
Oh, my God.
And it had this wood paneling.
Was it all bunk beds?
Yeah, yeah. So the 2 sets of bunk. Well, one bunk bed, 1 other bed, and then my brother John slept in the closet.
Really?
Whatever.
Why not? Okay.
Okay.
I feel like
kind of like his own private room, I guess.
Well, yeah.
I feel like if he turned out to be gay, like that would have been like the perfect thing. It all started when I was a little boy in the closet.
Did he? Was it a walk-in closet?
No. Just a regular
like a 2 foot, one foot deep.
We were all pretty young at the time, you know.
Okay. So
he just had like he made his little own makeshift fort / bed in there, and that's where he decided he wanted to sleep.
Okay.
But there was wood paneling on the walls instead of sheetrock.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just the studs after that. And anytime there's a pillow fight, somebody would inevitably go through the wood paneling. Sometimes it was just an elbow. Other times, like, a whole shoulder.
Yeah.
And we would strategically place the posters on the wall to hang over all of the different holes that we had punched in this wood paneling. And it got so bad. Do you remember those giant maps they used to have?
Yeah.
That it was basically the size of a wall. We had to put one of those things up to hide all the holes that we had punched in the wall.
Oh, monsters. Gosh. Bunch of monsters.
Don't have five boys. It's a mess. X1075, good morning. What's your name?
My name is Jeff.
Jeff, what is the correct answer? I decided that I was going to take this apart as a kid, and it turned out to be a bad idea because I had no idea how to put it back together.
It was a phone.
A phone, yeah.
I used to, like, after watching movies, I'd unscrew the phone to make sure that there was no bug. The Russians weren't listening.
Yeah.
And now our phones are literally listening to everything.
They're listening to everything that we say. And all of the smart speakers in our houses and everything else. Yeah.
Your TV, too, probably. Your computer.
This weekend,
everybody,
man,
except for your spouse.
Yeah. Taking Back Sunday, they're going to be over at the House of Blues May 4th and 5th. You're also qualified for the grand prize of some meet and greet passes. Thank you for listening today, man.
Sweet.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free, there's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee's silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.
Dave Mahoney, weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X1075.